This is Doug Miller. It's a wonderful thing, if you're a Gentile, to realize that God hasn't rejected you because of that. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with the Word of God in hand, hoping to reach someone, hoping that this message will fall on fruitful ground somewhere out there, and knowing indeed that God will accomplish what he chooses to accomplish and what he pleases or is pleased to bring about through his Word. So bring your Bibles. Come along. We are in the 13th chapter of Acts. And we're going to begin with verse 42. We have seen Paul's sermon, as it were, to the Jews in the synagogue at Antioch of Pisidia. And let's see what happens here. Very exciting story. So come along. Call a friend up. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there. And to that end, we need your prayers and your word of mouth and your support. It's absolutely essential to us. And you are as much a part of this as any of us are. So we just thank you and pray that you will write us down on your prayer list and pray for Dialogue. And we'd love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to get letters and to see what's going on out there and where you are, and to help you in any way that we can, answer any questions you have, provide any materials we can. Of course, the broadcast, you can get copies of the broadcast absolutely free for the asking. But you can pull up these messages on our webpage, too. Pull them down, listen to them, transfer them onto whatever you transfer them onto. I'm about as technologically inept as you could possibly get. But, you know, most people out there are a lot slicker than I. And you see they carry these little gadgets around with them, and they've got all these messages. Well, you can pull down these files off our webpage, and that's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. So pull it down, take a look. And also, if you don't want to write to us, and a lot of people don't like to do that anymore, send us an email, dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. And if you would like to write to us, let us hear from you out there. Our mailing address is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Okay, if you didn't get that, Sublett will give it to you later on at the end of the broadcast. So keep your writing materials handy. And if you would like to call and talk to us, I will return your call. Now, I emphasize it in just that way because, as I always say on here, I don't have a secretary sitting at a phone waiting to take in calls. What I do have is a telephone, however, that's a Dialogue number, and you can leave a message, and I will call you back as soon as I pick it up, which will be sometime, you know, a few days. The number, our telephone number is area code 405-535-9089, okay? 405-535-9089. All right, let's get into the 13th chapter of Acts and see what we can see here. We saw the end of Paul's sermon last time, and we see in verse 42 here an interesting thing. Now, I suppose that most of the people I'm talking to right now are Gentiles. I know that I am. And I know that our fathers and our ancestors and our forefathers were in utter and absolute darkness until the gospel came out to them. And who was it that took the gospel out there to them but this guy Paul? Because the rest of the church, for the most part, didn't see and understand that God was going to send out salvation to the Gentiles. They thought that it was a Jewish thing. And most of them, I'm sorry to say, were about as prejudiced against the Gentiles as many of the Gentiles are against the Jews. I mean, this is a two-way street. And there's an awful lot of hypocrisy that goes on about race relations and so forth. And you're a bigot, but I'm not, and so on and so forth. Look, it's hard to say who's worse in this regard. The Jews have, over the many centuries, been as anti-Gentile as the Gentiles have been anti-Jew. But God is anti-neither. Did you hear that? God is for you. He loves you. I don't care who you are or what you are. And with God, there is no respect of persons. He judges fair judgment. And look at what we have here. The Jews, in verse 42, got up and left the synagogue, but the Gentiles said, the next Sabbath, would you talk to us? We want to hear this. We want to get some other Gentiles in here, and we want them to hear this. Would you be willing to just preach this to us? Now, this is wonderful, because here you have individuals who were in darkness in so many ways. They didn't have the Word of God other than what they were able to learn from the Jews in the synagogues. And they heard this message, some of them, some of those in the synagogue. We saw last time, you know, where Paul began this sermon by saying, children of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God. So there were some Gentiles very obviously in the group, and they heard this, and it had an impact on them. And they came to Paul and Barnabas and said, next Sabbath, in a week, would you please preach to us? And boy, Paul, of course, was more than willing to do so. But notice, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in living a good life, in keeping the Mosaic law? No, continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. Wow. Now look, I have spent years out of my life talking into microphones and standing up on platforms in front of people and talking about the gospel and opening up this Bible many times to a mere handful. My wife said to me one time, you know, I've often thought how sad it is that there's so few people that are listening. So few people that come out, this in the meetings in particular. But look at this. The whole city almost came together to hear this, to hear what these guys had to say about a man who was crucified in Jerusalem, whose name was Jesus, and who was raised up from the dead, and who is now, his followers are out here to proclaim salvation and forgiveness of sins. The whole city comes together. Well, sad to say, when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas, verse 46, waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. That had to happen. And, of course, that's the pattern that Paul always followed. And that's the pattern that God, you know, when Jesus came at his first coming, he came to the Jews, to the Jewish people. He came to Israel. He came to Jerusalem. And it wasn't until the rejection that this message went out. And the same thing here. We had to tell you first, but he says, seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, we have here one of these difficult passages, and it's one of those passages that, you know, people strain and struggle at it trying to explain it, when in fact, you might as well just accept it, because we have both things going on here, both the free will of man and the sovereignty of God. You know the Lord Jesus, you've heard me say this on here before. He said it very clearly. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Paul, writing to the Romans, said, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, you got a lot of Christians that really get upset at that, and they balk at it, and they say it's unfair, and, you know, anyone can come, whosoever will, let him come. That's true. That's what the Bible says. How do I make those two fit together? I just take God at his word, and I'll let him explain it to me later on. But I want you to notice here that Paul doesn't say to these Jews here, God has chosen you not to be saved, so you can't be saved. Paul doesn't say, I'm sorry, you guys, you are not one of the elect and you can't be saved. Oh, no. He blames them for it, and he rightly blames them for it because it is their fault. They are the ones that are rejecting. They are the ones that judge themselves unworthy. They are the ones that put it far from them. All right, Paul lays the axe to the root of the tree, and he lays the responsibility right on them, and that's where it belongs. When the gospel goes out, and when an individual out there will not believe the gospel, that's his problem or her problem. You can't lay that to God's charge, and yet there is something else to be said here. Let's see what we've got here. Paul says we turn to the Gentiles, and he's got scriptural authority for it. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now that's Isaiah 49, verse 6. And Paul quotes this scripture. And this is right out of the Old Testament, and there is not one person in that synagogue right there who couldn't have known this one and couldn't have understood it. And Paul quotes it. And it goes on, and now look at this 48th verse. Here's the one that causes a lot of people to stumble around, and they have problems with it. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, who ordained them? Well, I don't think they ordained themselves. And the matter of fact, I just have to take this as what it says. God has always known and will always know who's going to be saved. There are no surprises for God. And God has prepared a place for those who he has always known would believe. And these ones, God knows who they are, and they did believe. And we notice here, and once again, I realize in talking about God's foreknowledge and God's predestination and individuals being ordained to eternal life, I realize that some of you are very slow to accept this. I pray that you will not be. If you are saved, thank God for it. If you are not saved, don't be standing around saying, well, I can't believe, I'm not one of the elect. Oh, come on. The gospel is out there. Christ Jesus died for you. He was buried. He rose again. You believe him and take him at his word and get saved. Then you can talk about being ordained to eternal life. But if you do not believe, and you will not believe, and you're rejecting this, please, please, Don't tell me that it's God's fault. It's your fault. And once again, for all of you philosophers out there, if you can't make this work within your neat little system of philosophy or theology or whatever you're doing, tough. The Word of God clearly teaches both positions, the responsibility of man, the free will of man, and the sovereignty of God. And you might just as well accept those things. And if you don't, if you have trouble understanding it, just tell the Lord about it. He'll clear it up for you. Well, look, the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So here you have it. I mean, Paul and Barnabas, I'm sure they didn't like to see this. They didn't necessarily like to be kicked out of town, and yet it seems like it happened to them often. Paul got run out of more places than he could that you could than you could shake a stick at, you know. But look, they shook the dust of their feet off against them. The Lord Jesus gave those instructions when he sent out the disciples two by two, didn't he? If you come to a place and they won't receive you, shake the dust of your feet off. It will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for that place. And here's one of them. And I don't know if this town even exists now, but I know this, these individuals, even in a future date, they're going to be called up and they're going to be judged and they will give an account. And this will stand as a testimony against them, the fact that Paul and Barnabas shook the dust of their feet off. All right, let's plunge ahead. We've got a little bit of time left. Let's go right on into chapter 14. They went to Iconium, and it came to pass that they were gathered in the synagogue of the Jews, and they spake so that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving, or literally the disobedient Jews, stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Now, let me tell you something. I have come to believe that if you are out here doing the work of the Lord, or say that's what you're doing, and the world is beating a path to your doorstep, and you are being cheered on and receiving all kinds of plaudits and congratulations from men, and there are great multitudes following you and all of this and that, I have come to believe that there's something wrong. Because the world is not going to make it easy for anyone who is out here preaching the gospel. The world is not going to make it easy for anyone who is trying to live by this word and who is trying to exalt and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one, is what the Lord Jesus said. And Satan has got his people everywhere, and he hates with a deadly, vicious, violent, and murderous hatred anyone who is out here with the gospel. And if you're out here trying to do a work for the Lord, and you are getting, you know, you're discouraged, and maybe you're getting beat about the head and shoulders physically or figuratively speaking, or maybe even physically and literally. I don't know what you're up against. But if that's what's happening to you, what I can tell you something. Just dig your heels in and keep on going, because this is exactly what you can expect. Look at these guys. Every time they hit town, they stir up trouble. And they were assaulted here. They tried to stone them. And they had to get out of town again. And in Lystra, verse 8 here, there was a man impotent in his feet. He was crippled. And from his mother's womb, he had never walked. And this kind of reminds us of the guy that Peter and John healed back in Jerusalem at the beautiful gate of the temple, doesn't it? Here's another guy. He had never walked. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they call Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Now, here are a bunch of idol worshipers. This is all they know. And this is, I mean, they really think, well, we've got Jupiter here, or Zeus, and Apollos, they called him Mercury, or Hermes, rather. And he's the chief speaker. And this is what they think. And the priest of Jupiter, or Zeus, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gate and would have done sacrifice. And look at the confusion this guy is in. This is an amazing story. The apostles, of course, Paul and Barnabas, when they heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn," that ye should turn, look at this, "from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." Well, here is an amazing story. And yet, it's about what we would expect, isn't it? These people are in darkness. And when they see what Paul and Barnabas have done here, they immediately get busy attempting to explain it in the light of their own religion. Now, there are a lot of people out there who would have you and whoever they can get to listen to and believe that it doesn't matter what you believe. The important thing is sincerity. How often have you heard that one? Well, these people were sincere, but did Paul and Barnabas say, "Oh, well, that's fine. Isn't it wonderful how religious they are? Go ahead and do this." No. They told them the truth. And the truth is, your false religion is empty. It's a vanity. And you need to turn from this and turn to the true and the living God and to be saved. Some of you out there listening to me right now need to hear this. You may be in darkness. You may be following the wrong things. Why don't you turn to the living God and be saved? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.